Well, good morning, BCBC, and thank you to all of the veterans that we have in our congregation. I appreciate your service. My name is Laurel Quinn, and I am the Kids Ministry Team Lead here at BCBC. And in September, I had the opportunity to come here on stage with Pastor Dan and have an interview about some of the challenges that are facing kids in America today and some of the priorities that I was bringing in as the new team lead for Kids Ministry. Well, we thought it would be nice if I dug a little bit deeper into some of the things that I was talking about. So I'm going to continue the conversation this morning. One of the challenges that I highlighted was the rise of moral relativism in the United States. So moral relativism is where anyone can really define what they think is right and wrong. This means that there's no common or shared moral framework for us to know what morality is in America today. The problem is, this leads to culture and society being able to define and even manipulate or distort what truth is. Well, as Christians, we have an antidote to this. We have the Bible, which is the Word of God, and that is our firm foundation for standing on biblical truth. And so I'm going to dive into a little bit of the findings that come from American Bible Society. They publish a report each year, and something that's interesting to see is that over the last several of years, the number of Americans that are regularly reading the Bible has actually decreased pretty significantly. And only this past year have we seen those levels only start to rise. So in America, as of this year, we have 110 million Americans that are regularly reading the Bible, and that's about 41% of the population. This chart allows us to dig a little bit deeper, and you can see that 41% is actually a pretty low bar of a standard for what constitutes a Bible reader. So they code anyone that's reading a Bible at least three times a year outside of a church service as a Bible user. So that's 41% of America. But when you start to look at those that are actually reading the Bible weekly, it's only 25% of Americans. And then that goes even further to only 9% of Americans are reading the Bible daily. This next chart is really interesting because it starts to break down attitudes towards the Bible. And this is where you can see moral relativism really seeping into how people view the Bible. So the top two brackets are where probably a majority of our church members fall, where we believe that the Bible is the inspired and the inerrant Word of God, meaning that we do not think that there are errors in the Bible. However, as you go down the line in this chart, you can see that people start to question the validity of the data, even to the point where 18% of Americans view the Bible with suspicion, and they think that the Bible was written to manipulate and control people. And so this really shows how much culture has really warped the perception of the Bible. So you may be thinking, why does this matter? Well, one of the things that I mentioned in September was that our worldview really places an emphasis on individual expressionism, which means that the purpose of life is to define myself and express myself. And the problem with this is that when you detach identity from Christian faith, you're really left with just shallow, empty substitutes for what identity can be. And you see this all over culture, where people are just trying to grasp onto anything that could possibly be an identity for them. But as Christians, we have our identity rooted in Christ. And this chart is really interesting because it shows how those that are regularly engaging Scripture have the highest scores of strong identity in America, whereas those that aren't regularly engaging in Scripture have weaker scores of identity. And then in this next chart, the disparity becomes even greater. You can see that as you increase in the frequency of Bible reading, the stronger your identity becomes, and you also have the lowest levels of weak identity. Some of this could be a chicken or egg scenario, which comes first, the strong identity or the Bible reading, but it's obvious that there's a really strong mutually reinforcing relationship between these two variables. What's interesting is that their data actually shows that the positive impacts of Bible reading extend to pretty much all of your life. So for instance, in this slide, you can see that in overall well-being, if you're engaging the Bible on a weekly basis, you have lower levels of anxiety, lower levels of stress and loneliness, and you have increased levels of hope. And also in this other chart, you can see that through their human flourishing score, which is a composite of a lot of different indicators, the more that you read and engage the Bible, the higher the overall human flourishing score is. Now, I'll be sending this in the weekly email so that way you can dig a little deeper into these findings, because it's really incredible to see in these reports how much Bible reading has an impact both on people's personal lives but also in society writ large. Something else that I mentioned in September was that Lifeway did a research study of 20,000 Christian adults who grew up in the church as a kid. And this study's focus was really to figure out, of all the different things that kids can engage in when it comes to faith and religion, what is the most significant indicator that shows that that child will actually stay in the church as an adult? And the number one indicator was Bible reading habits as a kid. It actually outperformed church attendance, small groups, mentorship. They found that at 91%, that was the highest indicator for a kid being able to stay in church as an adult. And I think it's because you're forming a personal walk with the Lord through this habit of Bible reading. So let's take a second and look back on this chart. Now, we can look at this kind of like a diagnostic or a self-assessment. This is not supposed to bring you any guilt or shame, but just to think about for a second, where would you fall in this chart? Are you reading the Bible daily, weekly, a couple times a month, a couple times a year? It can be helpful to think for a second and pause and maybe think about our priorities in life. And then also think about where you might place your kids on this scale, or grandkids, if you have grandkids. In my own life, I had never developed a habit of regular Bible reading when I was a kid or a teen. And in my early 20s, I really started to drift. I got caught up and fell prey to moral relativism in culture. And it was only in my mid-20s when I was inspired to start reading the Word of God on a regular basis that I realized I have really drifted far from biblical truth. And I didn't even realize it at the time until I became immersed in the Word of God. And so I think what's incredible to see over the last several years is just the deep transformational work that's happened in my own life as a result of this daily habit. And that's because Bible reading isn't just another box to check off of the list of things that's good to do. Like, I need to exercise, I need to eat healthy. It's an invitation from our Creator and our Savior to actually know Him, to be able to know what He says to us, because these are His words that are written for us. And He preserved these words over thousands and thousands of years so that we could have a solid source of truth. And so I would encourage you that if you're looking at this chart and you're thinking, I'm a little bit lower on this scale than I would like to be, how do I get started? Well, I would first encourage you, find a consistent time that's realistic in your life where you will actually have a moment to sit and read the Bible. Being realistic is really important. I would love to wake up at 6 a.m. and read the Bible, but that's not realistic for me. So find the time that's realistic for you and commit to it. And I would also encourage you to find a Bible reading plan that helps you walk through Scripture. If you're just opening up the Bible and reading, you're not going to get the meta-narrative of Scripture. What's really cool about the sermon series that Pastor Dan has been doing is that he's been linking a gospel of the gospel reading plan, and so we have that linked. It's not too late. It would be great for you to join us in that. So I'm the kids ministry team lead, so I've got to pull kids into the equation for a second. So how do we inspire kids to read the Bible? The research shows, I truly believe, that the most significant thing that you can do as part of your discipleship journey is to encourage them to know who Jesus is by engaging in the Bible. And so the first thing, model Bible reading in the home. Kids really need visual signals to know what's right, what's wrong. And whenever you're showing them that you're taking the time and prioritizing Bible reading, it sends them the cue that that's something that they can do too in the home. Another thing is that you need to make sure that your child has an age-appropriate Bible that they actually want to engage in. If you don't know what it means to have an age-appropriate Bible, please feel free to talk to me. I'd love to consult with you. It's important that as kids grow up, they continually have a Bible that they are able to actually read and interact with in some way. And then third, make the Bible fun and interactive. This isn't just another boring comprehension reading exam that they have to do for school. We want them to see and be inspired that the Lord loves them, and we can see that love written across all the pages of this book. And one of the things that we're doing in kids ministry is a Bible reading challenge every month, where if they finish every day of the month, they can bring it back in for a prize. And this month, we're doing a fun turkey challenge, and there's scratch-off stickers stickers, which adds like an interactive element. So each day they can scratch off one of the stickers, the Bible verse appears below it, and it's just a fun thing to engage the kids in that Bible reading. Also, find ways to incorporate kinesthetic learning. So that's hands-on learning. So take a Bible passage like Psalm 23 and have them draw out, like, show me what green pastures look like. Show me what still waters looks like. What about shepherds and sheep? They could even do this with Legos or Play-Doh. They could sing. Something that I've been doing with kids in Awana is acting it out, and the kids absolutely love this. We've acted out the book, the story of Esther, all the different miracles of Jesus. We did the Nativity a couple weeks ago. It really makes the Bible and its meaning come alive for the kids. And then I would also say, if you like to listen to things in the car, find some podcasts or an audio Bible. There are really awesome versions out there that can really engage kids in scripture in a fun way. Revive Our Hearts is working on something for 2027 where there'll be audio dramas walking through the Bible in a whole year. So we have to wait a little bit for that, but it's going to be really amazing. So if you need any ideas and want to brainstorm, please feel free to talk to me about that too. And then lastly, just a note for grandparents in the room, you have a special role in your kids' lives, in your grandkids' lives. Oftentimes, you might have impromptu visits with them. There might be moments where you have planned time with them. I would encourage you, figure out a fun Bible activity that you can just have as part of the normal activities that you would engage them in. Maybe it's doing a fun sword drill where you're lifting up the Bible and trying to find a passage in it, or maybe you're reading a story from the Bible storybook. I would encourage you, whether you're a grandparent, an older sibling, or even a babysitter, if you have kids in your care, it's really a great opportunity to engage them in scripture. And so in total, what I would just wrap up with is ultimately the goal of building any spiritual practice is not about perfection. The goal is to draw near to God, and it's just about faithfulness over a long period of learning how to follow him and walk with him. And so I thinking back to the beginning charts, I just think, how incredible would it be in our society and our culture if we helped this next generation and these next couple of generations learn and be equipped with learning how to read the Bible, developing this habit early, because I think the social and cultural impacts will really be profound if we do this. So I'm going to go ahead and take a moment in prayer, and we will start more into our worship time. So Jesus, I thank you so much that you have given us your word, and that your word is truth that we can stand on, and that we can resist the lies of the enemy, knowing what you have called us to know about you. And so I ask, Lord, that as we go into this time of worship, that we would just remember that our purpose this morning is to worship you, to serve you, to lean into your love. And I thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to gather here today as a church in worship with you. In your name I pray. Amen.